Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com on AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic and on Twitter, @Brad Sussmat. Thanks for being with us. Kent Summers is going to join us here in a couple of minutes with AZ Central Sports Cardinals Insider. The latest on Jonathan Dwyer, and I'm sitting here as the show starts, those of you watching the stream, and I'm just reading through the police report again. I mean, it's just sick. It is. I mean, there's no other way to put it when you headbutt a woman and you have an 18-month-old sitting there and breaks her nose and no excuses. I don't want to hear any of this nonsense that I've had over the last few days. Actually, the last few weeks of guys trying to say, oh, you don't hear his side of the story. I don't need to hear his side of the story. So, yeah, the fun and games of the NFL on the field with all the garbage off the field finally hit our backyard yesterday. And so Kent's going to join us here in a couple of minutes on that front. Jake Plummer will be on board with us today. Every Thursday, Jake Plummer, Snakes Takes. Jake did the Green Bay Jets game this last week. He's actually doing color commentary now for NFL games. And I want to talk to him about Aaron Rodgers and some things he saw there. And obviously, he's very close to Taylor Kelly, very close with Arizona State, very, very close on all fronts. We'll talk to Jake Plummer about the injury to Taylor Kelly and what to expect of Mike Bercovici and Manny Wilkins moving forward, and some other college football stuff. There's actually some games this weekend that are much better than last weekend that we'll get to with Jake Plummer, all things college football. And then Paul Coro from AZ Central Sports was coming by today. Why is he coming here? Is it he's coming in studio? Is he wants some? He gets enough television time. What's his deal?
I don't know. He just wants to be on the show today, and he has some paperwork to drop off here at our Skyview studio.
Paperwork.
So I said, hey, come on down. Why don't you swing by around 10:45? We'd love to have you on.
So
never a bad time, Brad, having Paul Coro on.
Well, it is if I've got to talk about Eric Bledsoe. And I'm going to have to talk about Eric Bledsoe, so I don't know how good of a segment this is going to be today.
Eric Bledsoe? There's no storyline with Eric Bledsoe, is there?
Just done. Done. but I can't be done. It's not even the start of camp. You know what's going to happen here in the next week and a half. You just see it. I wrote about this last week.
Yeah, he's going to sign that one-year tender, and he won't be with the team when they're at media day, and he won't be there for the first 2 days of training camp, and he is arguably the best player on the team. Yep. Sure, it sounds like a perfect situation,
doesn't it? And when he does show up, it'll be, that's between my agent and the team. I'm all about the team. I'm all about winning. I'm trying to help my guys. You know, all the typical stuff. So you know, that's coming up too. Let's get you caught up. Some of the things on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top. In the beautiful White Mountains, have you been to the Honda Resort and Casino? You've never been? It is simple to get to. You've never been to Pine Top? Pine Top's awesome. Year-round. With a ski season that's coming up shortly, you could stay at the Honda Resort and Casino there for fun, food, entertainment. Stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. Or just if you have your home up there, your second home, your third home, whatever it is, pull down on the slot. You're going camping up there. The Honda Resort and Casino. That is the place to be. That is the place to stay for all sorts of fun. That's the Honda Resort and Casino. They've been a part of Sports360AZ.com for a couple of years now. Kent Summers is scheduled to join us here in a couple of moments. So I think for context, and I'm big into context, I think reading the police report as how it went through, because we've done this in the past, rather than just sifting through it, you can take your time. So on 7/21/14 in July, at approximately 800 hours, the defendant was in a verbal argument with his wife, Jonathan Dwyer, in an argument with his wife, inside their shared residence, and I'm not going to give the location. The argument turned physical when the defendant attempted to kiss her and remove her clothing. The victim told the defendant several times to, quote, stop. When he continued, she bit the defendant's lip. This was done to get away from him and stop his advances. After the victim bit the defendant's lip, he headbutted her in the face, which she later learned had caused a nasal bone fracture as a result of the headbutt. Later learning that the nasal bone fracture result of the headbutt, the Phoenix Police Department was called by a witness reference hearing the loud arguing. Upon officer's arrival, victim reported she was engaged in verbal argument Over the telephone with a family member, she advised that she and her son were the only occupants in the residence. After the officers left, the victim fled with their son. So that's where it is that she was headbutted by Jonathan Dwyer. So, you know, on the football field, he's been deactivated. Jonathan Dwyer has been deactivated as it sits right now. Kent Summers joins us for a couple of minutes to pick up the story from there. AZ Central Cardinals Insider. I know time is busy for you, so I appreciate you jumping on board. Is there anything to add that we've learned here in the last few minutes on Jonathan Dwyer?
No, that's the latest news, was the details from the police report, which, you know, just made the whole situation uglier, as you can imagine. It's no news. I think, you know, the next thing is, you know, what do the Cardinals do with Jonathan Dwyer? Do they continue on this tack till they gather more information? Do they just outright release him? Does he go on the commissioner's exempt list like Adrian Peterson and Greg Hardy did? And basically, you're away from the team, but you still draw a paycheck. I don't know. It'll, you know, I think that move, you know, who knows when that move will come. It you know, Jonathan Dwyer's only under a one-year contract, so they could probably just release him.
Okay, so just to get the who, what, where, when, whys from you, because I don't think that's appropriate for me to ask you on personal opinion as this story is so fresh right now on some of this stuff, maybe in a little bit. But in terms of deactivation, here's the one I'm getting a lot that fans need to have explained to them. He still gets paid, right?
Yes.
And how does that work?
He still gets paid. That under the collective bargaining agreement, a team is only allowed to suspend a player a maximum of 6 weeks. So since all this, this domestic abuse stories have come out and the league is under such heat, you know, I think teams have used this mechanism now to basically, you know, split part ways with a player, sometimes temporarily. The player still gets paid. So with an agreement with the union and the player, all of that gets satisfied and they don't have to worry about a grievance being filed or any of that. And, you know, both parties kind of go their separate ways, like I said, either permanently or temporarily.
Kent Summers, AZ Central Cards Insider, for a couple of minutes. When did you first sense that something was amiss? Was it yesterday when he left the field? How did that work?
Well, it was really weird yesterday. Locker room access on Wednesdays is before practice, and he was in the locker room. So I didn't sense that anything was wrong. And then, we only get to watch the first 20 minutes or so of practice and then file out. And it was after that, started to get word that a plainclothes policeman were at the facility, that they were talking to a player, didn't know who it was. And then obviously news broke, you know, I think, Tyler Baldwin of Channel 3 broke that it was Jonathan Dwyer.
Chris Rainey's name has come into this discussion now. If you can explain why the angst and anger, because this story hasn't been picked up by the masses yet, about having Chris Rainey on this roster.
Yeah, that was an odd move, and obviously that happened before we knew anything about Jonathan Dwyer. And Chris Rainey is a guy, you know, in college who was accused of stalking a girl or sending text messages. The Steelers released him after he supposedly slapped a woman. He goes on to the Colts, where they released him in training camp this summer because of, you know, he was in a dormitory with some other guys and they started messing around with a fire extinguisher. And the Colts, I think, had basically told him there was zero tolerance. Well, the Cardinals needed a running back on their practice squad, apparently, and they signed him. And I asked Bruce Arians about it at the time, you know, with everything going on, why would you sign Chris Rainey? And he said, well, I know people in the Colts and the Steelers organizations, and they vouched for him, as did two guys here who played with him, one of whom was Jonathan Dwyer.
And the heat that the organization is getting, being lumped into all the domestic violence, or is this just heat in Arizona? I mean, the focus has been, Ken, on Adrian Peterson and Ray Rice. I know you can't really give a gauge nationally about what's coming in Arizona. Are you sensing that this is more of the, now it's out on another team, or is there more heat and vision on the Cardinals here in Arizona for what are they doing over here with these guys?
Yeah, I don't sense that so much, although I think they're you know, that's an opinion of some. I think it's more of people, at least the the feedback I've been getting is more people, the reaction is, what's going on in the NFL? Why, you know, what kind of people are in the NFL, and why doesn't the league do something about it, or what is the league going to do about it? I know Commissioner Roger Goodell has taken a ton of criticism and is really catching flack now because nobody has heard from him.
Yeah, he's missing in action. Where is he? I haven't seen him.
It all stems back, I think, starts with the Ray Rice situation. First, to only get two games for that, and I think the league expected that, you know, controversy to die down, and it didn't. And then, obviously, that video came out, and, you know, and that made the league look even worse, if that was possible. So, you know, it's amazing. All of these events have happened within a couple of weeks. And I think, you know, if they would have been spread out over a year or so, I don't know that the media or the, you know, just the nation in general or fans in general would think that much about it.
I mean, the league's got to be holding its breath now. And they were holding their breath yesterday morning.
It's just, you know, like, what's next? You know, when a backup running back, a journeyman for the Arizona Cardinals, is one of the major news stories in the country, you know, you've got a problem. And then, you know, you have kind of sponsors who are, I don't know if it's posturing or if they're serious, you know, Pepsi and Budweiser, you know, encouraging the league to get out in front of this story and do something. You know, I don't think those companies would pull their ads from the NFL. I mean, it's too lucrative, and we'll all be watching the games this weekend. But, you know, I think that's got to get the league's attention for sure.
Okay, personally on this, your opinion, he's done here, yes?
Yes, I would think so. You know, you like to say somebody's innocent until proven guilty, but in this case, there are arrests, there are charges made, the police report is pretty ugly. And let's face it, this is, you know, guys like Jonathan Dwyer are treated differently than star players. Mm-hmm. You know, this would be, you know, I looked last year, for instance, Darrell Washington played the whole season with domestic violence charges against him, and while the case was being delayed, and so did the other players in the league. So it's, you know, depending on your level of talent or whatever, you know, teams treat you differently, and I think that goes on at every level. That goes on from Pop Warner to high school to college to the NFL.
No, I would agree with you on that, and that was my follow-up. What does this mean, how the Cardinals handled Dwyer versus Darrell Washington, or is there any correlation at all?
Well, I think the Cardinals' reaction is obviously, you know, what the league-wide reaction is. Everything that's happened in the last 2 weeks, you know, you can't anymore just have a player, you know, accused of this and still have them on the field. It just, you know, teams just can't do it. They can't afford that now. So it's, things have changed dramatically, and it's just interesting how you know, controversies or scandals in this league or whatever you want to call it just grow. You know, you think back to the, you know, to Bountygate and how all-encompassing that was, and then you think to the Richie Incognito, the Jonathan Martin, you know, bullying thing in Miami a year ago. It's, you know, these NFL stories just dominate the news cycle.
So and one last question on Washington, because I'm getting a lot of those. You still think that, what is your opinion on him coming back to the Cardinals at some point, and does any of this matter in that case? Because it is domestic violence.
I think it's going to be really hard for him to come back for a couple of reasons. One, all of this, it makes it difficult. And Darrell's, you know, had multiple problems with substance abuse policy. He obviously is on probation now for the domestic violence situation. I think it's going to be awful hard. I think, secondly, the backdrop, the Cardinals are genuinely still upset with Darrell Washington. You know, Steve Keim has called it, you know, the most disappointing thing to happen since he was a general manager. I mean, they really feel like he let the whole organization down. And so I don't know that there's anyone here who is anxious to bring him back. You know, they've kind of put it off and said, you know, we'll make that decision if and when he is reinstated by the commissioner. But even then, if he's reinstated from the substance abuse, you know, then he faces, you know, up to what, a 6-game suspension for the domestic violence. So, you know, is he worth bringing back at that point?
Thanks for your time as always, Kent.
Okay, Brad. You're welcome.
Take care. Kent Summers there, AZ Central Cardinals insider on the latest out of the Cardinals facility. I understand that there's, and I brought this up yesterday about the whole due process, but you go through the police report and you look at the whole story there and how can you bring him back? How? Jake Plummer's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Brad Sussmat right now on Sports360AZ.com. Plenty of very good content on the high school, college, and pro front.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Jake Plummer joins us now for a couple of minutes at Snakes Takes. Jake Plummer every week here on the show. And last week you had your NFL debut as a color analyst. I'll get to that in a minute. I don't know if you saw the Taylor Kelly injury, probably at least a week against UCLA. What's your view of ASU without Taylor Kelly coming into the UCLA game next week, Jake?
You know, it's a tough one. They came and played CU and didn't explode like I thought they would on offense. And I don't know if that's a sign of just, you know, them obviously missing Taylor or maybe CU making a little bit of a gain and on the defensive side of the ball. But whatever it is, you know, your starting quarterback goes down. That's tough. You know, teams have to rally. Mike Bercovici's, from what we've heard from Coach Graham and everyone in the program, says he's very capable of playing for a lot of other colleges. So, you know, it's his chance to come out, and I'm sure he'll be a little geeked up if he does get a play. He was in the game a little bit, I think a little bit, you know, amped to get out there, and we'll get to see what he can do if that's the case. If not, if Taylor can hopefully heal, you know, you hope to, you know, that he doesn't re-injure it, because a foot's a tough injury. You know, I did see it, and it didn't look like anything, you know, any trauma or right. Any direct hit, but those things happen, and teams have to raise up. You know, more concerning is probably that they gave up 500-plus yards to Colorado. So, you know, defensively, they got to get some things going and pick it up. You know, everybody has to pick it up when your starter goes down.
Now, in the quarterback community, and you're close with Taylor, did you send him a text or anything? Have you texted back and forth?
Yeah, just to see how he's doing and see make sure his spirits are all right. And it sounded like he was. He said he's going to be okay. You know, but that's a positive kid who wants to get back out there and doesn't want to miss anything his senior year, especially with the success he's had the last couple years. So he's a really tough kid and a tough competitor, and getting injured, you could see it on his face. He was extremely bummed out and not happy, because as a football player, you want to be out there on the field, and that's what you're there for. So for him, he's got to, you know, do the treatment and everything they have him doing, make sure he stays off of it and lets that foot heal, and hopefully gets back out there soon.
Jake Plummer with us every week on Thursdays. Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ. Okay, so are you going to get down here to a game? Are you going to be at the UCLA game?
I won't be at the UCLA game, but I'm going to be down for the Notre Dame game, yeah.
Oh, I understand. Priorities, yeah. Right? I mean, I want to see
Well, I'd love to come to the UCLA game, but, you know, I'm traveling quite a bit. I'll be in Seattle this weekend doing another game and, you know, just down to the Pac-12 networks a couple times, so... I do get a free weekend. Sometimes the family comes before ASU family.
I gotcha. You're doing another game this weekend. You make it sound like you're doing Seattle-Denver, right?
Yeah, doing Seattle-Denver up there, and it should be fun because I'm pretty familiar with the Broncos, and I really enjoy watching Seattle play, so it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm glad you're doing just another game. Sounds like a decent game. You know?
Yeah, I got pretty lucky. I mean,
Listen
Green Bay, New York was a great game, and this one looks to be, on paper, should be very entertaining also.
You know, the Green Bay game, though, I was watching that and thought of you because the very first play, you have a center quarterback fumble right off the top by Aaron Rodgers, of all people. I mean, that doesn't happen. Did that ever happen to you, very first play of the game?
I hate to say it, but yeah, I've had that happen. You're just a little bit anxious, a little geeked up. They might have had a big, you know, play action fake, and he was just antsy to get out of there, but... When those kind of things happen and you have a rookie center, Lindsley's a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron Rodgers isn't to blame on that. That's the center's fault, man. That's all I can say.
Yeah, of course. If I'm talking to a center, it's the quarterback's fault.
Yeah, you know, I always cop to it if it was my fault. A lot of times, you know, that some guys, QBs, will never take the blame. But I think that they just, from a replay I saw, Aaron was moving out of there quick, and you know, the center was reaching and moving, and that happens. Sometimes you get complacent and just forget to do the one main thing that starts play, and that's secure the football.
Okay, so tell me this. You're at the booth last week watching Aaron Rodgers. This week you're in the booth, and you're going to be watching Peyton Manning. How much of a difference is there between those two quarterbacks, in your view?
Well, there's a big difference. I think every QB across the league has a lot of differences between them. I mean, Peyton right now at his age and what he does, it's all about timing. It's all about getting the ball out of his hands. He doesn't want to be holding it back there for very long. And if the pocket does collapse, he's able to move, but he's not going to go get you anything positive on the yardage side like Aaron Rodgers can. I mean, Aaron had a couple really big runs to end the first half and late in the game that helped extend drives. And that's just the difference. You're not going to see that from Peyton. We never have, really. And that's, you know, Peyton from the pocket is as lethal and dangerous as any quarterback I've ever watched. You know, Aaron has that same possibility and same abilities to do that from the pocket, but he has good feet that can extend the plays. And again, on the other side of the ball against Peyton is going to be a young kid that I'm super excited to see play again, and that's Russell Wilson. You know, the kid's just phenomenal. So great matchup to watch this weekend.
And, you know, back on Green Bay, one last question. The weapons that Aaron has, he threw the ball, what, 15 times to Jordy Nelson? Is it 15?
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. And that Nelson had such a big day. I don't think the Jets are very good myself. I could be wrong. But you know, that combination is very lethal in Green Bay.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Jets have a decent team, I think. They sometimes, I think, overcoach and gimmick themselves out of being more efficient on offense. Geno Smith looked great. I thought he was very efficient in the first half. Then they started doing some funky stuff and motioning Chris Johnson from receiver spot back around the backfield. I mean, you got a running back who's gone over 2,000 yards, and they're using him as a decoy. So I think that's just an offense that needs to figure out what they're going to do. What Green Bay and Jordy Nelson and Rodgers did was amazing. I mean, they have some decent receivers over there, some young ones. Devontae Adams looks pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Randall Cobb. But Jordy Nelson and Aaron Rodgers, it was amazing. He'd be running a 15-yard comeback, and the ball's gone before he was breaking out of his break. And that's just experience. That's reps. That's having confidence in your guy. And Jordy Nelson has some of the best hands I've ever seen. So that was a dominant performance by those two. They attacked what is the suspect part of New York's defense, and that's their back end. They got some inexperience back there at the DB position, and they're going to get exposed if they don't figure a way to shore that up.
All right, how was your dominant performance? It was your first time being an NFL color analyst, right?
Yeah, it was my first time. So, you know, it went well at times. Sometimes it was a little harder than, you know, I thought. But radio's quick. A lot of times, you know, you don't have to describe what happens on every play. If it's a 2 or 3 yard running, you know, to the right side, I don't have to explain that. I mean, people can imagine what that is. But it was fun. I felt like I got into a good rhythm a few times, and looking forward to doing it again this weekend.
Yeah.
Fun thing for me was going down on the field and seeing my old center, my first one ever, Mike Devlin from the Arizona Cardinals. I got to give him a big, huge hug, see him, and also another ASU Sun Devil, Jason Simmons, who's coaching for the Green Bay Packers. Got to see him. And so, you know, for me, that was awesome, just to get to see two old teammates and give them big hugs and recollect a little bit.
Yeah, did Carl Bradford get on the field at all for the Packers?
No, I don't. He didn't even suit up. So I think he's just, like, still trying to figure out that, you know, in the NFL – every single right tackle and left tackle you go against is going to be probably better than almost everyone you go against in the Pac-12. You know,
sure.
You've got to kind of realize that. And I think he's working there. He's a hard, hard worker. He'll get his chance eventually. He's learning from a great one in Clay Matthews. So, you know, for him, he's just got to, you know, bide his time and eventually wait for his opportunity.
Talking with Jake Plummer with Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. So who do you like this week, Denver, Seattle, going into this matchup?
You know, it's hard to say, you know, with what happened last week with Seattle and San Diego. You know, San Diego just picked them apart. Did nothing big. I think their longest pass play was over maybe 23 yards. And they just were finding those zones and doing kind of what Denver does. You run the receivers to the open spots and hit them. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I think defensively Denver's trying to shore up their you know, the second half D and getting physical against the run game. So it's going to be a good matchup. To pick the winner, I would have to be saying I'd go with Seattle because they're at home and they're really hard to beat up there. But I wouldn't give up, you know, on the Broncos because Peyton Manning and that squad, they're determined to set a little bit of an example this weekend and say, hey, we're we're the team to beat right now, not Seattle. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I'm really interested to see, Jake, the Denver defense, because that's where they put the money in the offseason. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of put up or shut up. I get it that Seattle's different at home. Denver's different at home. That's just the way it works in certain stadiums in this league. But I really think the Seattle offense against the Denver defense, to me, is the most intriguing part of the matchup.
Yeah, you're right there. The offense that Seattle runs is so efficient, and Russell Wilson is so good at getting the ball to the right guy, and then if it's not there, extending plays, and then you get a beast mode going, it's hard to stop that offense. Right now, the Denver defense has looked really good in the first half of ball games, and in the second half seems to not be able to get off the field. Opponents are converting over 50% on third down, and that defense is only going to get better week to week. And, you know, they didn't lose, which was the big thing against Kansas City, but they're addressing their weaknesses and figuring out what it is and how it is they can get off the field on third downs, because you want the ball in Peyton Manning's hand, and that offense is lethal. Julius Thomas and all those guys are just they're gelling as an offense and as a defense. It may take a little more time, but big test for them this weekend. It's going to be a loud, rocking building on Sunday.
Okay, so I could go back to what you and I talked about last week, which is all the off-the-field stuff in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And we just had that happen down here now with Jonathan Dwyer, a backup running back. But I'd rather go over to Jameis Winston. So he's going to sit for a half against Clemson. And from a Heisman Trophy perspective, and I'm a voter on this, I'm really having a problem with Jameis Winston over the last year. I mean, do you see it as I do, that there comes a point where you factor that in, or do you just completely 100% look at him on the field?
Well, the Heisman and history of it is more about the player, but also about them as a person. It's not just his stats. So he's a young kid. And I think, you know, realizing that you can't slip up and people are watching. And I believe that he's extremely talented and not a bad kid. He's not a bad guy, just making some,
too many judgments, Jake. I mean, that's where I'm at on this. I mean,
I've said this before. If there were, you know, the little handheld police device that everybody has in their hands today, like they had when I was, if they had those when I was going to college, there might have been some occasions where someone would have looked differently at the way I carried myself.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I was a arrogant and mean person, but someone can misconstrue any situation and make it into a negative. And I wasn't there. I don't know what he did. Supposedly stood up and got to saying some derogatory stuff at the in the cafeteria. But my thing is, like, who's he with? Is he with his teammates? And if he's with his teammates and they're sitting there letting him do that, then shame on his teammates. I mean, this kid needs some guidance and needs somebody to step up and grab him and say, dude, shut your mouth. Let's get out of here before you make a fool of yourself and our football team.
Did you have that at ASU?
I always had a great crew of guys around me, always. That's why. It's just because I was with my boys. Those are the guys that are in it with me, and I know that they have my back, and they knew I had their back in case something ever went down. And it's not that you're waiting for that to happen. It's just be around the right kind of people that can say, hey, man, let's get you out of here. This is ridiculous. You don't need to be in this situation. So he's just a young kid that's learning. I mean, he's learning right now that anything he does is going to be big news. It's too bad because he's so talented. That run he had the first week of the season, and that was amazing what he did. And to watch him grow and dominate, continue to dominate, it's not good, because I want to see him on the field. I don't want to see him sit out a half, but he's just got to make better decisions.
Yeah, who were your guys, by the way, back then that would get you, that would stick with you? Who were those guys?
I rolled a lot just with the quarterbacks. I mean, Jason Verdugo was one of my best friends. We spent a lot of time together. You know, Ryan Wood was a buddy that I was roommates with, and I would always kind of be around with him when we'd go out. And, you know, wherever we went, there was usually a few guys, and we'd all kind of just keep eyes on each other. I mean, that's just what good teammates do. Coach Snyder preached that, you know, you care about your teammates. You have to, and it's not false bravado. It's not anything that you just say you do, but you actually do it by being there for your teammates. So we had a great crew of guys, and then, you know, some of us would always be there just taking care of each other.
All right. Well, be well this week. Have fun in Seattle, and we'll talk next week. I appreciate it, as always.
Hey, all right, Brad. Thank you, man. You guys have a good one.
Good stuff. Jake Plummer there with us every week. Rapping about what's going on in football. could be pro, could be college. He's with the Pac-12 Network. He's doing work with Sports USA. And this week doing the Denver Broncos at Seattle Seahawks game, which, by the way, is on the exact same time. I guess there's like a 20-minute gap between the Cardinal game. We all have our decisions to make, right? Sports360AZ.com. On Sports360AZ.com right now, we have the recruiting roundup. That is college, high school recruiting and football. For you football fans, you're interested in your college, what they're doing here in Arizona. It's a good video that's put together by Jason Jewell and Jared Cohen. Plenty of great content up on our college and our pros side as well. Stay with us. So I had one of those parent moments, and you guys know on this show, I'm pretty much an open book about stuff. You ever get that text that you need to talk to your daughter and she's in college? It didn't happen right now. It happened last night. Soccer daughter ends up, it sounds like torn ACL, torn LCL. And she's in Chicago. And so I'm out here. And so you get this bit of news and they're going to do an MRI. And the thing is, I've had like 4 knee surgeries. My wife's had multiple. So we know knees pretty well. So it's like, okay, there's swelling. Then there's the, they'll do an MRI. And she saw a specialist this morning. This happened last night in a scrimmage, soccer scrimmage. She gets tied up, ACL and LCL. So you're just kind of sitting here helpless from 1,600 miles away trying to navigate through all that stuff. It sucks being a dad sometimes when there's something like that that happens. Full disclosure about today's show. Back to the sports news. Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. Carson Palmer's nerve injury still isn't ready to go against the 49ers. And as you look towards this matchup, and you know that San Francisco, I get it. The fans pointed out to me yesterday, you didn't mention how close the Cardinals have come. Close doesn't count. I don't go into the whole close doesn't count in horseshoes or hand grenades. It's just, you got to win. You got to beat these teams at some point. And they're trying everything. The electrical stim, you know, they put those little patches on. I've had that with my knee. I've had that with an elbow issue I had at one point. Acupuncture, dry needling. Who was it? One of the Suns doctors told me when Charles and KJ were having their issues with their bodies. I remember KJ had hamstring issues all over the place. Like, couldn't stay healthy. And the Suns doctor said they were getting calls. The organization was getting calls. Try this, try this, try this. And it was all fans out there giving suggestions because there was so much passion towards the Suns and trying to go the extra mile to make sure. I don't think I'm stepping out on a limb here. I'm sure there's been some people that tried to get to Carson Palmer that said, I know how to heal him. I know how I can wake up that nerve. So if Drew Stanton is the guy that goes, if he is the guy that goes on Sunday, do I feel any less certain that the Cardinals are going to come up with a victory? I don't, but it's going to be a mitigating circumstance. When you've lost 9 of your last 10, here's Bruce Arians on this. When you've lost 9 of your last 10 to the team that is supposed to be, from Arizona's view, the 49ers are the arch nemesis. From the 49ers' view, Arizona is an hour and 50-minute flight, and that's it. Seattle is the arch nemesis with San Francisco. Nonetheless, arch nemesis is coming to the Valley this week.
You know, the two last year, I can only talk about the two last year. And in the fourth quarter, they were both winnable, and we didn't finish either one. And until we finish one, it won't be a rivalry or anything else. You know, it can't be a rivalry that you get your ass kicked this many times.
You just love that. I just love that. Let's not sit here and sugarcoat this and say all the public relations stuff. Let's just say what needs to be said. How can you not root for a guy like that? Colin Kaepernick got fined. The absurdity of the NFL with this whole Jonathan Dwyer thing being deactivated and still being paid because it satisfies the players' union. Logically, it doesn't make sense to anybody when you go through the police report. I read this police report earlier. I may go back to it for you if you missed it. So then you have Colin Kaepernick getting fined $11,025 by the NFL because he used inappropriate language. Of course he did. This was during Sunday night's loss to the Bears. Kaepernick says he's going to appeal. was flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct after his pass was intercepted by cornerback Kyle Fuller on the fourth play of the fourth quarter. He said, dadgummit. No, he didn't. I don't know what he said. After the play, defensive end Lamar Houston patted Kaepernick on the chest, and the quarterback appeared to say something in response. Kaepernick, however, has denied he said anything. Houston, the player, told the Chicago Tribune he said, nice pass to Kaepernick, but didn't catch a response. I didn't hear anything. Niners head coach Jim Harbaugh says he's received clarification from the NFL, declined to share the league's explanation why Kaepernick was flagged. I don't have a stance because I don't know. I didn't hear it. Collins always been truthful 100% of the time. Where do you come down on this one, Eric? I mean, I look at this as just the it's just ludicrous that the NFL is going to throw a flag if somebody says something, the George Carlin seven words or what, the Roger Goodell seven words or whatever it is.
Happens all the time. These are adults that are playing at a very high level, and they are playing football where it is one of, if not the most aggressive and passionate sports. And in a primetime game, early in the season, when you're underperforming, things are going to get said.
We have had moments through our relationship. Eric and I have been together off and on doing this sort of thing for 20 plus years. We have had moments, not many of them.
But we have, of course.
We've had moments that end up, I'd say, dadgummit. And he would say, Frank. And
correct.
I would say...
Or I'd maybe just tell you you're number one. Or, yeah, you know, it shows. I mean, you would hope that
anybody,
the players are passionate people. We're passionate people,
yes,
in this business,
yes,
that you're running and I'm helping you run. It's just it's life.
But my thing is, anybody who's watching this right now, if you haven't had passion, okay, and that doesn't mean you have to use language, but I think it's kind of, I don't know, anybody who judges someone because, wow, they used an expletive, don't go live in a glass house on this deal. I've said words that I've regretted. I've had moments I've regretted. We all have. But for Colin Kaepernick to have a flag thrown on him, and for the NFL to not explain it, some of you got upset at me yesterday because I was joking about this. I want the referee to open his mic and say, this is the word that he used. It'd be much, much more transparent. But just the fact that that's an $11,000 25. Is there cents involved in this too? Or it's just $11,025. We can't get a domestic violence spot in place until it's completely out of control. We can't get our guys under control, and it's not the whole league, but we have guys in our workforce that are jacked up and are headbutting girls. And I've already gotten a couple texts. Well, she bit him. She bit his lip. What was he supposed to? He's not supposed to headbutt her. It's really not that hard. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So I'm driving a 2014 Fusion. I'm very pleased with the Fusion. It makes a lot of sense for me. This morning, in a span of, as I said earlier, I had a personal situation that popped up with my daughter and her knee. Within a span of 30 minutes on the freeway this morning, making my commute, I was able to touch base with quite a few people. And I didn't have a phone up to my ear. I simply pushed the command button and said, call this person, or call that person, or this person called me back. Guys, have you ever been in a spot where you've just needed to take care of, whether it's a personal situation or it's something with business, and you're driving around, you know you shouldn't have that phone up to your ear, and you know you're driving a little irresponsibly? The Sync Command Center, for me, and it's just part of many reasons why I love driving the Ford Fusion from Santan Ford, makes a lot of sense for me. I was able to handle a crisis in my household this morning. And there's been times in business where I've been able to handle crisis in business. Now, how about you? Yeah, it's more than just a vehicle for me. It's part of my lifestyle. The Ford Fusion makes a lot of sense for me. And it may be a truck you're looking at that has the Sync support. Just get involved with Santan Ford and find out for yourself. General Manager Tim Hovick and company, they do it upright. Big sports supporters. Of course, they are supporting ASU, the Diamondbacks, the Cardinals, and we're a big part of them as well at Sports 360 AZ. Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista, or go to santanford.com. That's Santan Ford, where it is all about you. On the other side, Paul Coro scheduled to join us from AZ Central Sports, Suns Insider. I don't know why he's coming here. He better have brought food. I want food. If he didn't bring anything other than some paperwork, what, are you kidding me? We expect more than that. Brad Sussmath with you.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
Appropriate you play this, Eric, with Paul Coro in studio. We're clubbing.
John.
We're clubbing, right? We got NBA season coming up, man. We're clubbing. You've covered the NBA, of course, Paul Coro, AZ Central, Suns Insider. You've covered the NBA for 10 years, mm-hmm. right? You ever go clubbing?
You know, that's probably a broad enough time range that there was probably some times at the beginning that I did.
Yes, yes. That's why I phrased it that way.
It's more likely that my daughter would.
Yeah, and she'd want you to go for, like, to get her in the door. But
you know, it's funny. It's they're going to go to training camp here in a couple weeks in Flagstaff, and my daughter's a freshman at NAU. And I'm thinking, man, what if we ever, like, cross paths in the same places?
Especially like Whiskey Row. Like, there she is. Oh my gosh, that's my dad. Hi. No, that's
no,
great.
We're gonna have some good dinners that week. I'm glad that coincides.
That'll be fun. That'll be fun. Are we going to see Eric Bledsoe at Media Day?
Ooh, that's a good question. That right now I don't feel like we will. And you know, part of that is because the qualifying offers 2 days into training camp, and part of it is I wonder if they wouldn't just want to avoid that spectacle. Not when I say they, Bledsoe and his camp,
sure.
more so than the Suns, and maybe the Suns too, but they're going to have to address it. That's the unfortunate part for them. It's going to get all laid on them, and he's going to get to avoid it. Now, Bledsoe doesn't avoid it forever. I'll be at camp.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And it's going to be a topic on Media Day, whether he's there or not. It's going to be a topic.
It will be the topic.
You're absolutely right. I've already thought about that. Like, unfortunately, it's probably going to be the thing that's asked to every player, the coach, the GM, the president.
Yep.
Because it's just been hanging over them for 2.5 months.
Are you surprised that we're this close to camp and this is not resolved?
At this point, I'm not. But 2 months ago, I would have been surprised. You know, it never had a really great feeling going all the way back to extension talks last year. But, you know, you always felt like, you know, teams would come at them. There would be a match that they would have to do. You know, they made an offer without any competition. You thought at some point they'd say, okay, let's negotiate. And and you look at a year ago, Nikola Pekovic for Minnesota was in a similar situation. And Minnesota just out of the blue bumped up their offer in mid-August and he signed. And, you know, I thought maybe something like that was going to happen here. But the different dynamic here is that they just haven't seemed to be willing to really sit down and negotiate. And maybe a lot of that is because the gap.
They be Bledsoe's side.
Yeah, I mean, they talk. Let's not say they don't talk. When we say Bledsoe hasn't talked to him, we're talking about Bledsoe. We're not talking, his agents do talk to the Suns. Mm-hmm. So, but the chasm's so wide. You know, they start at 4 year, $48 million. They're asking for 5 year, $80+ million. What, you know, if the Suns come back and say, okay, we'll give you an extra million a year, 52 over four. That's not exactly.
The damage is done though, isn't it? No matter what happens here in the next 2.5 weeks, the damage is done.
I somewhat agree with that, but if out of the blue they came up to an agreement before camp started.
A max.
That's
my point.
Oh.
Now, my point is, unless it's the max on Bledsoe's end, the damage is done. Or am I just misreading this?
Oh, that from his perspective, the Suns haven't respected him enough to give him what he wants?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of this is, we don't get to talk to Eric during the summer. He's not spoken. We don't hardly talk to his agents, at least not on the record, really. So to know what Eric really thinks about this, or how much of it is his thought and how much of it is his agent's direction, is hard to gauge. Because even when we spoke through him over the season, over contract extension talks and his knee rehab, you don't really get the feeling of what Eric really thinks and wants.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that we ever really will. When he does come to camp, I don't think we're going to get this epiphany of what he really believed the whole time.
Where's LeBron James playing all this? You know, he did his thing on Instagram, which caused a huge uproar. Where do you think LeBron James plays in all this?
Well, they've been good friends since Bledsoe was in college. He calls him his little brother and big brother. And he obviously chose his agent because of that relationship. Now, I always point out none of LeBron's other friends have chosen that agency. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of an original type relationship. It's not that hard to go get LeBron James the max. So this is this is as important for Rich Paul and that agency as it is for Eric Bledsoe's career, because, you know, his other guys are like Tristan Thompson and, you know, like a, and the likes like that. You know, there's no other player of Eric Bledsoe's caliber. Mm-hmm. So this, I think that's why you see a lot of them digging in here. You know, they laid a bar at maximum. They thought that that was where he should be. I think a lot of that is banking on his potential. A lot of that is banking on what TV money is on the come for the league, that the salary cap will go up about $17 million over the next 2 years, and what's a $48 million offer now might seem market value, but in 2 years, it would seem maybe like a good deal for the Suns.
Yeah, no, no. I'm at the point where I have to look at it. Is Goran Dragic now becoming my priority? And Bob Young wrote about this in AZ Central yesterday, I believe. And I felt the same way, that I don't see how you resolve this one long term. And I almost feel like the team has taken a big step back, because, and I think you and I talked about this even last year when you were on the road, there's no guarantee they're going to win 48, 49 games again. Does Dragic become the priority at some point?
Yeah, the more, especially if Bledsoe takes a qualifying offer. I mean, he's basically on a one-year deal, and then he's an unrestricted free agent, and all this control that they traded for. Yeah. You know, they don't go trade for Eric Bledsoe unless they feel like they have control of the situation.
Yes.
It's you know, in hindsight, they gave up Jared Dudley. Dudley's already been pawned off to Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. They didn't really say, you know, a second-round pick. They didn't sacrifice a lot. They get Bledsoe on a bargain deal for this year and maybe again for one more year. But the odd dynamic this year is just going to hang over the season all year, because now Jeff Hornacek's in a spot where, like, Isaiah Thomas is part of their long-term future. They plan to make, like you mentioned, Goran Dragic part of their long-term future.
If he accepts it. I mean, yeah. Dragic is he's in a very good position, I think,
right,
through all this. And Bledsoe can say no to any deal, correct, under the qualifier.
Yeah, he'll basically have a no-trade clause.
Yeah. So it's not like the Suns in December can say, all right, let's get him out of here.
Yeah.
I mean, he could really just say, you know, I'm going to play, I'm going to do my thing, and see you guys next May.
Right. Like, Milwaukee's had some interest in him, but, you know, judging by Eric Bledsoe, does he really want to be in Milwaukee when he's thinking maybe the Lakers will pay him big money in a year? And it's difficult to trade. Now he's on a 3.7 deal. What kind of player are you getting back if you're the Suns that matches with salary on a 3.7 deal?
Give me a draft pick.
Right.
I mean, that's how I would approach that.
Yeah.
I think the strategy of all these draft picks has been smart. You just have to, at some point, parlay some of those, because there's enough kids here to go for a while.
Yeah. And maybe you could find somebody who's like a former lottery pick on the end of a rookie contract that you would have some contract control of beyond that, that's in that same range. But it's going to be interesting to see how Jeff Hornacek handles it, because, you know, if Goran Dragic and Isaiah Thomas are rolling in a game, and he's thinking, I know these guys are going to be around long term. You know, behind the scenes, Goran's told him he wants to stay, as much as his agent probably doesn't want him to be saying that. But he's that type of guy. He's loyal.
Sure.
He came back when it was crappy. And so do you put Bledsoe back in the game just because he's Eric Bledsoe? Or do you put these two guys that are hot, that are part of your long term future, and just let them ride out the game? And every one of those moments is going to be analyzed all season. And that's going to be a difficult thing to manage.
Okay, who's the player you're looking at? Paul Coral with us in studio, AZ Central Sports, Suns Insider. Who's the player you're looking at in this camp that to you is teetering on, he can go one way or he can go another with this organization?
Markieff Morris, I'd say, because now it's his minutes won't significantly change, but the significance of him do with Channing Frye gone. You know, now he's a starter. Now he's the guy who has to make that transition smooth to not hurt Frye. Now he's the guy who might have to take some threes but not get away from the game that made him better last year with taking higher percentage shots.
Shoot the 17-footer rather than the 22-footer.
Yeah, but they're going to miss that spread threat. You know, that spread threat of Channing, whether he's hitting shots or not, is what opened lanes for Goran Dragic and Eric Bledsoe.
Yes.
And so Markieff shot the ball three well, got in love with it too much after that his rookie year. It's contract year for him and his brother, which is another completely fascinating negotiating situation for them. How do you negotiate with twins?
We don't want this one, but we want this one.
But how does that affect you know, we've already seen how it affected them to be split apart, yes, and how much better they got when they played together.
Mm-hmm.
So do you pay two roster spots and sacrifice two? Now, I don't want to say sacrifice, because Marcus has become a better player, and Marcus is probably going to see times at the four. And, you know, people all along have thought Marcus was a better player in college. And,
yeah, yeah.
And so there's still a lot of potential there, and it'll be a big year for him too.
What when you look around the West, where are the Suns in your mind? Are they still an 8-9? Are they a 7? Are they a 10? Where are they at in all this?
Unfortunately, I think they're still in that 8-9 range, because there's nobody in that top 8 who's taken a step back. You know, you don't look any of the West playoff teams last year and say, "Well, they're coming out."
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, you know, Memphis had their struggles last year and barely got in the end, but Marc Gasol missed a lot of the season. They were adjusting to a new coach. You know, they're a good team, and I think that there's no reason to think they're coming out. And the other part of it for the Suns that's difficult is New Orleans and Denver are having the same conversations in their cities that they think they're becoming playoff teams. Denver had a myriad of injuries last year. New Orleans, Anthony Davis is about to become an All-NBA, if not MVP, candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew Holiday was an All-Star, and Ryan Anderson was hurt last year, and Eric Gordon might someday finally become the player that people thought. Now you've got those teams trying to get in, too.
I think you're going to be busy this year.
It's fun. The West is great. I mean, every night is cutthroat in the West. And the way they changed the schedule this year with making the All-Star break longer, games are going to just come bam, 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 one after another. It's going to be attrition.
Appreciate you coming in the studio.
Thanks. All right. Thanks, Brad.
Good seeing you as always. Good Paul Coro, one of the best.
Thank you.
And I wouldn't say that if he weren't here. I'm just kidding. I would say that if you were. I've said that before. Eric knows that.
Yeah, you've told me that a few times,
actually. Yeah. In spite of what people say, he's terrific. And it's usually just people that are fans out there. They get all bent out of shape. Come on.
Paula Bowman.
He's listening to you. My friend, Paul Coro. Brad Sussmad with you. Sports 360. Crack me up off that. AZ.com. It's better than this stinking police report on Jonathan Dwyer. I got to get into that on the other side. And much more. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. You can always follow me on Twitter @BradSussmad or @Sports360AZ.com.